Lauren's Last is someone who knows a thing or two about super yachts. The Dutch packaging magnate not only owns a 62-meter motor yacht, but also recently acquired 100% stake in Heesen Yachts. In this interview, which we recorded on board the 50-meter Heesen yacht Bijin in Monaco, we discuss his previous super yachting experience, how it took him only a few weeks to decide to buy the shipyard, and what his plans are for the future. It's clear that Last has a brilliant business mind with a keen eye for market opportunity. I hope this interview gives you a little insight into the journey he wants to take with this very well-known Dutch brand. Lawrence, thanks so much for taking the time to sit with us and talk about your new adventure with Heesen Yachts.
Thank you.
And we've actually just enjoyed a very special lunch on board the newly renamed Bijin. I think I'm saying it right.
You say it right.
And, you know, and one of the comments made during lunch by the new owners of the boat was that it had great bones. And I think that's, you know, that's a Heesen speciality, isn't it? I mean, Heesen traditionally build very strong, very solid, very well-made boats with good bones that have great longevity. I mean, is that something that attracted you to the brand?
Yes, of course. When I walk today on the boat, which is refitted, and you see the quality of the woodwork, the quality of the interior, and after the refit, the boat still looks brand new, then, you know, being part of that company which provide that kind of quality, I think that's amazing. And obviously that's driving me to continue the Dutch legacy in shipbuilding.
Would you only have considered buying a Dutch shipyard?
Yes. I would not, certainly not the first shipyard. I would not dare to buy an Italian shipyard because I know Italy quite well. And I think it would be too risky for me not being Italian. And I think the fact that I'm Dutch, buying a Dutch shipyard makes a lot of sense. Obviously, I know the business climate, I know the people, but also love, let's say, the legacy of the Dutch. You know, I think shipbuilding is the only luxury manufacturing process going on in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And to be part of that and to continue that legacy, I think that's really driving me.
Although weirdly, sometimes when I'm in the Netherlands, people are often unaware just how special that industry is to the country.
Yeah, but for that, you need to understand the mentality of the Dutch people. I mean, the Dutch people in general are very humble, act normal, don't do crazy stuff. And obviously, yacht building is the opposite of acting normal, you know. I mean, it is excessive. Yeah. And the Dutch culture normally doesn't, you know, combine well with this kind of, you know, extreme exposure of luxury.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you see those amazing photos often of, you know, large yachts crossing bridges and next to, you know, these cute little cottages and picture postcard villages in Holland and things like that.
And it's very important. Think about all the subcontractors which are related to that. So it's a big industry. I think we as Dutch people should embrace it and be very proud that we can build that high. I think, you know, we probably built the highest quality yachts and I think we should be proud of that.
So how long were you thinking about the decision to buy Heesen?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Wow.
Literally.
And so the idea...
I was thinking in 1 week whether I should buy it or not. Then I started the process and we closed in 5 weeks.
I mean, that is a remarkably short amount of time.
Yeah. So I'm still working on the due diligence, as you can imagine. No, but it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was it that kind of sparked your imagination?
I mean, I visited Heesen 5 years ago. Obviously, I visited all the Dutch shipyards. And I felt I'm a manufacturing person from background. There's something very well organized there. You know, when it was clean, this was, you know, from the manufacturing flow was very logical. So I saw that they can build very good yachts. So I saw the potential. And also I knew that the yacht was not under direct ownership. So the shipyard didn't had a direct involved owner. And I think if you have an owner in the company, you can drive a lot of improvements. And that is kind of the reason why I bought it.
And the process, the kind of handover into your ownership was quite a clean process?
Yes, very clean. You know, obviously the ownership was already transferred to a foundation. So I bought the shares from the foundation. It was a Dutch transaction for me. A foundation is a common entity, you know, for foreign people. That's kind of difficult to understand the Dutch corporate structures. But for me, it was normal. And we did it very quickly. That's why I think nobody else would be able to do something in 5 weeks. You need to be Dutch to do that that fast.
Yeah, that's probably very true. And you are 100% shareholder.
Yes. Yeah. I bought all the shares.
Wow. And so it's often...
So I have all the problems now.
You have all the problems too, yeah.
I cannot hide myself anymore.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, there's lots of sayings about a quick way to lose a lot of money building boats. I mean, it is a hard way to make money and an easy way to lose money. So what do you think you can bring to the process that will make sure Heesen's successful for the future?
No, I completely agree. I mean, buying a shipyard is an emotional decision. It's, you know, wanting to become active in an industry where you meet a lot of interesting people. So they're ready. I mean, look how we are here today. We had a nice lunch. So the lifestyle around it is very nice. My passion for the sea, you know, was very important. But why I think I can help, driving the success of Heesen to the future is, first of all, I'm Dutch. Secondly, I'm a manufacturing person. And I think the manufacturing process of building yachts is still very traditional. So I see opportunities in robots, you know, automated production processes. In Holland, we have the highest labor cost. And I think that gives us a big opportunity because the return of investment going to automation systems obviously works the best, you know, where the labor cost is the highest. So I really think we can do improvements in that area. Then being a yacht owner, so I have experienced the yacht. I love the sea. I do kite surfing. I'm always on the water. I think that experience is also nice because many times people are building boats which have never used the boat. So if you have never used a boat, then it's completely, it's an unknown process. So you build a product while you don't know how it's being used. And I think speaking with the yacht owners, obviously I have many friends which own yachts and we speak a lot about yachts and how to use it and what you can improve. I think that's what I can bring to the shipyard. Then I can bring the financial stability because obviously it's an industry which has ups and downs. So you need to have a pocket, you know, if times are not going well, you know, that you can help the shipyard survive in that period. And then I love the creativity process. So creating new designs, that's really, I want to involve myself in that. I think that's key for the yachting industry. And, you know, to start with the paper, design a yacht, and then to build it. And then 5 years later, you see the yacht, you know, and you use it. I mean, that satisfaction, that process, I love that.
So you're not going to be an absentee owner. You're going to be in the shipyard.
Yeah, no, I don't live in the Netherlands anymore, but I'm one week per month in the shipyard. And obviously, most of the yachting experience and the owners are outside the Netherlands. So I'm meeting a lot of owners. So I'm at the moment very busy. I can say I spend 70% of my time now to Heesen.
And how does that kind of measure out with your other professional commitments? I mean, you've set aside clearly an amount of time to dedicate entirely to the shipyard.
Yeah, actually, timing is very good. I was a board member. I'm still an owner of a listed packaging company in Switzerland. I was a board member there. I stopped that a few months ago. So that freed up time. And then in the family office, I have a family office. We look after some companies. So my dedication is more or less to the Heesen company. And the rest of the team is also focusing on the other companies where we are invested in.
Okay. Well, that reassurance, I'm sure, to the, you know, lots of people in the shipyard, because it'll be nice to see you kind of on the shop floor meeting the staff and, you know, looking at what...
Yeah, that's a big cultural change because the shipyard, again, was not used to have an owner.
Yeah.
So suddenly he's an owner, you know, and he has at ease and he comes and this and that. And, you know, obviously I also realize that I'm the face of the company. So, I mean, I'm now having this interview with you and not the management team. And I understand that. So I understand my responsibility, promoting Heesen, both to the owners, but also to the press.
And is that a role that comes naturally to you? You're quite happy to be that public facing?
And I mean, the public facing, you know, the publicity was never my thing. So in my industry, in the packaging industry, I was dealing with customers like the non-Coca-Cola. So we never needed kind of publicity.
Yeah.
In the yachting industry, it's obviously different. So I see that as an obligation, which is part of the job. What I really love is engaging with the owners, the potential buyers, because in the last 2 months, I met so many interesting people. They are in special businesses. They are fantastic entrepreneurs. They have a certain lifestyle. They have a vision in life. I met also a lot of designers, interior, exterior designers, creative people. And I think it's very cool to relate with these people. Then the crew. I have a boat myself, so I understand how the crew, I engage my crew already in the whole process. So I bring my captain to certain projects and he's involved and he has his perspective from the crew as a captain to what we're doing at Adhesion. So I try to, let's say, blend all the disciplines together and be kind of the glue in between that to make sure that all aspects of a yacht and the yacht ownership are taken in consideration when building a yacht, which is a big change in process in Adhesion right now.
Yeah, and you are effectively, as well as the owner, you're a great marketing tool for the company because as an owner yourself, you're able to relate
I'm
to
I'm being abused.
Yes.
No, in a way, yes. Yeah. Because I'm a yacht owner, that obviously helps them a lot.
Yeah. Because, you know, you can understand why an owner would want to meet, you know, at a peer-to-peer level, understand that another owner runs the shipyard that's building their boat.
I mean, as an owner, you smell, you want to, if you buy a yacht, obviously it's a lot of money. So you want to understand who's behind that, you know, can I trust that guy if he gives a commitment or if I have a problem? Because obviously building processes are not always smooth, you know, it's giving and taking and it's a kind of a relationship building. So an owner is testing, is this the guy I want to buy a boat with? You know, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I do this. I did the same.
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to rewind to costs a bit because you mentioned costs earlier. So I often, Northern European build costs are rising quite and have risen quite dramatically. It wasn't that long ago when people were saying 100,000 euros a gross ton was a huge amount of money. And now we're talking 120, 130, sometimes 140,000 a gross ton. I mean, the challenge, I suppose, for a lot of Northern European shipyards is managing those costs and trying to keep them as low as possible, maintaining a healthy margin and making a product attractive enough at a price level to bring in quite a lot of clientele. So, I mean, is cost a focus? Is trying to...
Yeah, of a big focus. But first of all, what I'm learning, everybody's talking about the price per GT. Mm. So let me clarify that. I think that's very difficult to compare that because it depends a lot on the specifications on the boat, the interior. So the interior specification can change that dramatically. So I think the industry and I think the broker community is really saying, okay, I'm being approached. Can you build for 80,000 the gross ton? Okay, yes, you can or you cannot. That's, it depends on the specification. So I think I want to change it more to total cost of ownership because I think the price per GT obviously is a relevant decision from a CapEx perspective. So how much money do you spend initially into the yacht? But owning a yacht is much more than initial spend. Because you have the operating costs, you have your maintenance costs, you have your resale value. So I would rather go, and I think then the North European yachts are in a much better position than the Southern European yachts, is what is the value after a yacht after 5-10 years? You know, we are on this yacht, it's 10 years old. You walk around, it feels like a new yacht.
It does.
So compare that to a yacht, you know, and so this yacht maybe was 20% more expensive when it was purchased 5 years or 10 years ago. But look to the resale value and look how the quality and the maintenance costs are. So I think what I want to drive and promote in Adhesion is going to a total cost of ownership. Ideally, you know, since costs are rising, you buy a yacht and you sell it after 5 years or 10 years for the same price you bought it for. So you have no depreciation. If you buy a new yacht, everybody misunderstands that, you don't have a paint job, you don't have a five-year survey, so the utilization of a yacht is also much higher. So if you want to reduce your cost of ownership, for example, you could decide to charter your yacht. The more weeks you have, the more weeks you can charter. So I think there are many examples of yachts being sold in Holland, which, let's say, were costing 50 million, And 10 years later, the price is still 50 million. And they're being resold for 50 million. So that means there's no depreciation at all, because obviously the new builds are getting more and more expensive. Mm. If you then look, if you charter and if your maintenance cost is low, the total cost of ownership is much lower, but your initial capex was higher. So I think it is our responsibility, you know, promoting the quality and the depreciation and the maintenance cost. A friend of mine bought a yacht and he comes to me, Lawrence, can your captain please look to my cost? It's so high per month. And obviously his maintenance cost was very high. So he's not happy. So they always say there are two happy moments when you buy the yacht and when you sell the yacht. If the difference between those values are kind of acceptable, I mean, as an owner, you think, okay, I did fine. But if you buy a yacht cheap from the beginning, you know, and you sell it much cheaper, you know, are you happy? No, of course not, because at the end, you lost much more money. So I think that's the quality mindset. People talk about, okay, in Holland, we delivered the yacht on time. And in other shipyards, they don't deliver the yacht on time. But it's all relevant, you know. Obviously, the emotion around the product and the use of the yacht. But at the end of the day, the total cost of ownership, which is really what should be the economical decision. And then you need to compare specs with specs.
Yeah.
So you cannot say gross tonnage without specking the boat. But going back to your question, is cost a relevant item? In Easen, yes, because I think all my manufacturing companies, so if you produce packaging, you produce billions of packages. So any percentage, you know, has a big impact on your profitability. So I'm used to run a company very lean and mean, and I want to spend every euro or dollar into the product itself. And I don't want to spill any money outside the process. So I think we should spend the money into the quality of the boat to build an outstanding product. Then we don't have to do marketing, because the product itself is your best marketing. And all the costs which are coming into a company over years, I'm planning to cut out.
I liked your answer with the total cost of ownership. It was quite a sophisticated and layered answer. And I think that comes from your experience of having owned yachts.
Yes.
So you're not a neophyte. You're not coming into this with this grandiose idea about running a shipyard. It's, you know, this is a...
I'm very realistic.
You are realistic.
Yeah. I know where I enter into.
Yeah.
It's not an easy business.
No. So why don't we talk a bit about your yacht owning experience? You have a yacht, a large yacht at the moment.
Yes.
Called Samadhi.
61 meter. Yeah.
61 meter. How long have you owned her?
Almost 2 years.
And previously? So how long have you been in the kind of yacht ownership?
I started with small. My first boat was a 37-foot boat. I have my own captain license, so I've been cruising around. And then I went up to 54, to 75. And then the first yacht was also Dutch built. So, and I have now also a 28-meter yacht, you know, for cruising in the area where I live. So ideally, what is my concept, I want to have a yacht close to where I live so I can use it in the weekends. And I want to have a yacht which is traveling globally so I can discover.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it sounds a little bit outrageous, but I think that's the best combination. So to fly into the global yacht. So I now go with my yacht to the Maldives in Thailand. Then hopefully we can do Philippines afterwards. I will fly in for 3 weeks and then fly back. And if I'm backing home in the Mediterranean, then I can use a yacht just for the weekend.
Yeah, that sounds like the perfect setup to me. Yeah, absolutely.
So what can I do to convince you?
Yeah, a few years before that, I think. So the big boat you've had for 2 years, and so, but it's, you know, you've graduated throughout the size ranges. Did you grow up around water? I mean, where was the initial interest from?
Oh, yeah, I started sailing. My parents put me on a sail lessons when I was 6 or 7 years old. I started windsurfing and doing windsurfing competitions when I was 13, 14, 15 years old. I do kitesurfing. I do, in fact, all the water sports. I swim almost every day. I wakeboard, water ski, you know, surf, windsurf. So I think on my boat, we have all the toys you can imagine. And I love to do it.
Are you an early riser?
Yes, on boats many times, because what we do in the morning, we wake up early, We have two yoga mats set up on the beach. Do a yoga session, then go back to the boat, have breakfast, and then I do some work. And then in the afternoon, we do the sport activities or we do exploring. Also have bicycles on the boat. It's beautiful to go on an island and use the bike and then discover it. So especially when we do yoga, it's nice to do yoga with sunrise. And then I wake up early here. But sometimes we party and then I need my sleep.
Yeah. And we... always an entrepreneur? Actually, it just came to you?
Yeah, I started when I was 21.
And what was the first business?
Actually, I started as a hairdresser.
No way.
Yeah. So I had a hairdressing salon when I was 21. I had that for three years. Then I started my own cosmetic range, hair product range, for a few years. Then I had to buy packaging and I started inventing. I'm an official inventor. So I invented different kind of packaging formats. So I invented packaging and then I sold my previous cosmetic business and focused on the packaging business, which I then set up a lot of factories globally. And, you know, the products I invented, try to sell it in all the countries around the world.
And I suppose that was quite nice timing, is the packaging explosion, everyone ordering online, particularly during COVID.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I was more in what I call high-tech packaging, liquid packaging, which is very, so don't think about carton boxes, etc. So I invented the flexible pouch. It has a little cap on it. Applesauce. If you have children, you're obviously familiar with that. And also we did, for example, if you go to a McDonald's and you drink a Coca-Cola, that's coming, the syrup is coming from a bag and it's then being dispensed with carbonated water. That's how you get your Coca-Cola. So all those bags globally for Coca-Cola, we were manufacturing. So I was in liquid packaging, aseptic packaging. It means we were filling the liquid in a sterile way. So we built also a lot of machines. Machine building is quite similar than yacht building. It's very difficult. For all the customers, we have different specifications. So they're huge machines, 10 meter long. They cost 5-10 million sometimes. And that's very similar. But the luck with what in the packaging, what we had is we had hardware, software. So we sold or we leased the machines and then we were selling our packaging material. So we have continuous sales revenues and that's all. The big disadvantage of a yacht, You sell one time, you need to make your profit and maybe you get some spare part business, but that's very minimum. And that's why this business is so different.
So your inventions, and they're protected. So that company you set up, I suppose, for in perpetuity, we're always going to be drinking syrup from Coca-Cola and McDonald's. Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, what an amazing business.
Yeah, that was an amazing business. But also that business is very competitive. So cost management and to produce the product in a more efficient way, to improve the OEE, the efficiency of the production. That were really the drivers to be successful. So we were doing that business with 20% up to now 25% EBITDA. There's the margin over the sales, which is amazing. But the only way to achieve that is really innovation and manufacturing the product in the most cost efficient way. So how do I transfer that to or relate that to yacht building? I think you need to build the best product.
Yeah.
And not compromise. And then try to make it, you know, as cost efficient as possible.
Some of the custom yards, they might aim for 10% margin on a boat, but then that gets worked down to 5, 4, 3, 2. You know, some boats are delivered with zero profit on the custom side. I mean, do you have an ideal target margin when you start a project?
You know, if you think about the car industry or the luxury industry, like I always give the example of a Birkin bag, Hermes bag. So it's probably made for 500, maybe 1,000 euro, and it's sold for 10,000 to 15,000. So why is the yachting industry, which is such a luxury industry, why is that cost base? Because it is what you're saying, okay, this is the cost, and then you add your profit, and you're kind of happy if you make at the end, when you make profit, and then it's maybe if you look to the annual accounts of all those companies, they make 1 or 2% profit, and next year they make a little loss. That's typical for a very luxury product. And look how complicated a yacht is.
Yeah.
Look how much responsibility you take as a shipyard, you know, on warranty, on the performance, etc. So how can it be that I would almost say stupid little leather bag, you know, can be sold with such a margin. And a shipyard, which in my opinion, you know, provides is much more technology, much more innovation, much more responsibility, has such a small margin.
I mean, it's sort of like the million-dollar question in yachting, isn't it? How do you build a yacht with a 20, 30% margin that everyone's happy with when, you know, competition's obviously very fierce? I mean, it's a real dilemma for our business because we cannot keep building yachts with such tiny slivers of profit.
It's unsustainable. Eh? So you have now some shipyards which obviously have improved their margin. I received a very nice report about the yachting industry from McKinsey. And they are saying they're kind of 60 shipyard building companies, and there's a shortage of capacity. And you get growing high net worth, you know, potential customers. So I'm pretty sure, you know, hopefully if there's enough marinas, because that's the next problem, you know, but I think if we get more scarcity in the yacht building, you know, that's the way to do it. And also owners, they don't want to buy a product, you know, and that's what I think what Ferrari is doing, what Birkenbecks is doing, it's difficult to buy the product. So if I think the shipyard industry is kind of backing, oh, please give me an order. And I think if you change that, you know, if you show, you know, listen, you want to have a building spot with us, you know, look how unique our designs, look our, you know, the cost of ownership. So then people want to be part of that process. So I think it's a way that we need to create more sex appeal. We need to create, we need to explain better to the customers what risk we take as a shipyard to build that yacht. And so then I go back, and why is this discussion about the GTs is there? Because obviously many times brokers are in between and they kind of launching this whole GT discussion. So they go shopping to all the shipyards and say, okay, What is your GT price? 40,000. What is your 60? What is your 100,000? You know, and that's without any understanding about specifications, without any understanding about what they're asking for. I think that is creating a lot of disturbance, you know, in the industry. Obviously, many brokers have a good understand what they talk about. But I think how many yacht brokers are there? I think I've never seen an industry where there are so many brokers.
Well, there's, you know, thousands chasing 400 deals a year, basically. Exactly. So, I mean, part of the appeal of a Birkin bag is the brand, right?
And yes.
Understanding or having a lot of people appreciate the value of that brand. And it's exposition, isn't it? I've got a Birkin bag, you know, therefore I'm prepared to pay a premium for it. So there aren't many brands in the yacht world that have successfully kind of made that logo or that brand is super sexy. Obviously, everyone in our world knows Heathen builds a good boat. Everyone knows Fedship builds a good boat. Everyone knows Lursen builds a good boat. But that still hasn't translated into higher margins for those shipyards. So it's quite a big challenge.
Yes. So I'm not saying that I'm the person which can change the industry. But I think what we can do is to emphasize, you know, the strength of what we're doing and to create this. I think it's not about marketing. It is about creating something which the people feel special about and they want to own. And I think that's, you know, and that obviously is related to the design of the yacht, to the quality, to the kind of owners which owning a yacht. In the past, the speed was important. Heathen was very good in building aluminium yachts and going 30, 40 knots. So nobody could do that. So we had really a big advantage compared to, because we could show that our skills and our capabilities were better than anybody else when speed was required. Speed is less of an aspect right now why an owner buys a certain boat. So you need to find what the owner is looking for and how can we excel in that area, which is really relevant for the owner. And now you see that a lot of owners, they stay longer on the yacht, you know, they swimming pools, you know, it becomes almost like floating houses. You have fantastic surfers. You know, there's no place on earth, even not a 6-star hotel, where you get this kind of surfers than you can get on the yacht. So I think we need to look to where are really the value drivers for the owners to bring the value, and then are they willing to pay? The other problem is that those owners are obviously very smart. Because if you can buy a yacht, it means you're a very good businessman. And that, I think, is the other problem, is that the shipyard owners, you know, and the management there, you are dealing with very sophisticated people. And they need to allow you to make money on the product while they're very good in taking out cost.
Yeah.
I've spoken to so many owners so far. And if you listen how they run their business, how efficient, how... I spoke to an owner. He bought a company, made 30 million loss. 6 months later, it makes 10 million profit. Why? Because they do something. They change the strategy of the company and then suddenly it becomes successful. So you're dealing with very unique personalities. And I think that's the other problem.
Well, it's true. If the customer's much smarter than the company building the boat. I mean, I suppose now Heeson has the advantage of having a kind of a someone who's background in yachting and manufacturing. I mean, you'll obviously, you know, might bring a level of insight to the process. So,
I'm not a company yet, and we have 1,000 people, and all those people are responsible. I think what is important from Heeson's perspective, that we have a clear mission and a strategy, that everybody in the companies understand, okay, this is the direction we're going to, and that we are in that process, engage the owners, the captains in that in that journey, and that they want to participate in it. So I hope today we are on a Heeson and the owner is very proud to own a Heeson. And that's obviously what you want to see.
Yeah.
And all the owners have friends. They speak with their friends. You know, you should have, you know, that's the advantage we have as Dutch shipbuilders, is that the owner community is obviously small.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the aspects where we can benefit from.
And you've mentioned design a few times. So will you take an active hand? Obviously, you're not penning the designs yourself, but you'll be able to say, try this, try that.
I did already one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The lines and the GA. So we're going to put that in production. Probably we launched that during the yacht show. So we are also shifting, I believe, in above 1,000 GT. Now I speak about GT, not the price per GT, but just giving the volume of the boat. I think there's a nice market there. And Heeson is very well positioned because there's no competition really in that segment between the 1,000 and 1,500 GT. So we're launching designs in that area. And then I'm working and brainstorming with some designers about a unique design, which is really, let's say, the new yachting experience. Because I think design is bringing a lot of those values where we speak about why the owner wants to have a yacht, and then it needs to be built in a very high quality.
And do you see the average age of Heeson owners coming down? Generally, there's a youthful trend in yacht ownership. Is that true?
Yeah, and I think that's an advantage of Heeson. I think we attract a little bit of a younger owners. So I think we benefit from that our boats are looking cool and a little bit more sportive, lower, you know, lean. Yes. Yeah. I think that's, and that also means, and you see the people, you know, the internet, obviously you can work globally. You can travel with the boat. You can take a school teacher on board, you know, if you have young children.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be trend. Another trend is people in Asia and people in the Middle East who are using the boat completely different than we used to.
Yeah.
So if you want to attract that market where obviously a lot of people are potential buyers, we need to rethink, you know, the layout of the boat and how they use it.
Well, I mean, that Heeson, you know, has found, you know, considerable success in the market in the semi-custom space. I mean, you build a platform, you take a boat almost to delivery, you find an owner, and you know that's the business model, and it's been very successful for a very long time. If you're talking about markets that want slightly more unconventional layouts and different usages of those spaces, I mean, how custom can Heeson go, I suppose?
That's a very good question. And our smart custom, as we call it, is you use an existing hull. So I don't understand, honestly, why, if you build a yacht, why you would take a hull which is not proven, has to be designed specifically for your yacht, extends the engineering, brings in risk. You kind of, with the full custom, you build a prototype. And any prototype is never as good than when you build the second or the third one. So I would always recommend an owner to use an existing proven platform which you know is working well and is not, let's say, hole number one. So that's what we do. And then we can build up any kind of superstructure on top of that. Mm-hmm. So you can still personalize, but you use the hole. And we have very fuel efficient holes. I think that's also because there's a lot of discussion about sustainability. The easiest thing to do is to make your hole fuel efficient. It's the easiest to say things. And that, I think, is the future of Heesin, that we have existing platforms. We build up different kind of superstructures, proven platform, reduce the delivery time to the owner. Because I speak with owners, they said, yeah, 5 years, I'm now 67, I'm 72, I don't know where I am in 5 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are definitely going to be future potential for an owner to come on, you know, an Asian owner, for instance, and they say, I want, you know.
I want to have more closed areas, I want to have a casino,
yeah.
I want a karaoke area, and, yeah. And I don't want to sit in the sun, and I'm using it 2 days in the weekends, and then I come back home. That's a completely different, you know, way of using a yacht than the traditional Caribbean and Mediterranean.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And younger owners are using their boat. I mean, they tend to stay on board for longer. They're a bit more barefoot, bit more, you know, tactile with the fabrics, and the, you know, it's a bit, it's less glossy, less fingerprints on stainless steel kind of thing.
Yeah.
They want an easy
to cozy, change. Cozy. Yeah. I think, you know, there was a time that yachts had to look like a showroom.
Yeah.
But you didn't dare to sit there, you know, and you didn't want to touch anything. So it was not like feeling at home. I think that most of the yachts you see today, the owners want to put their signature that when they are on the yacht. And I had the same experience with my yacht, with my children. I bought my yacht and then I refitted it. And my children now really feel like, you know, if I say, what do you want to do? And they know if the boat is available, they say, okay, well, let's go to the yacht, because they feel at home.
Yeah.
And that's what you want as an owner, you know, the family moments, the experiences, you know, the memories you create on the yacht are fabulous. And then you want your yacht not like a business card, but you want your yacht like your home.
Yeah, I'd completely agree with you. I think it was all about exposition before, I suppose, showing off, look what I have, look how much, you know, look at my wealth. But now it's an extension of a
lifestyle. You know, you have many of our owners have a few houses here and there. They're very particular about the interior design. And if they come on the yacht, they want to feel it. And then the crew is a very important part of that. Don't underestimate the crew in that.
Yeah. So your own cruising, so you're spending some time in Asia coming up?
Yeah, this winter.
Wow, that'll be amazing.
So I'm so much looking forward to it.
Have you been there before?
Yeah, not with the yacht. So this is my first time that I go cruising, you know, in that far area. So I'm really keen to explore that area and go guide surfing on the different locations. So first starting in the Maldives, then Thailand, you know, I cannot wait to go there.
The family's excited?
Yes, 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 yes. They cannot always join because some of them are going to school. I also have older children which can participate and join during those trips. Now it's amazing experience to go on a yacht and discover all those countries.
And that the joy of it and the joy of experiencing it with your family. I mean, I try and tell people who are unfamiliar with the superyacht world, they say, you know, it's not about, you know, it's not gold taps and champagne necessarily. You know, it's having those moments with your family on the boat in a unspoilt bay or wherever it is, and everyone's diving in the water, and it is a magical thing. You know, same family time could be spent anywhere, but there's something extra special, of course, about spending it on a boat. Yeah, I mean, that's the greatest marketing tool in this industry, isn't it?
Yes, my children still remember the trips that we went with the boat to Greece, and we went to that island, and then we did this kind of water sport activities, or we had a party over there, and we still speak about those moments.
Yeah.
So they are embedded, you know, really. And I'm pretty sure when my children grow up and they explain the story about, you know, their father, they said, you know, my father took me on his boat and then we went there and we did this and that. And we had a slide on the boat. And that's my ambition, is to create emotions and memories. And I think that's much better what I can give to my children than leaving a lot of money or wealth behind.
Yeah.
I want them to remember me as a person who did extraordinary things with them, and they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and what a joy for you to be able to offer them those experiences.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very special.
Yeah, I've one son is already in the yachting industry, so he's traveling all the time with me, and it's also beautiful to have your, you know, to work together with your children. So two of my oldest boys are working in the family office. Every Monday we have a conference call. Everybody participates, and that's amazing.
Yeah, I suppose the obvious question I haven't asked is when are you going to buy a Heesen?
As I just told you, I'm going to construct one right now. and that's a new design. And yeah. I'm very proud of that. Yeah, so that will be ready in 4 years.
So 100% definite.
Yes.
In 4 years' time.
And then I have another boat, a 28 meter now, which I'm selling. And then I will have an Heesen yacht here in Monaco, because I want the owners to be able to come on board, experience the yacht. So that will be in the port of Cap d'Ail, and that will be in the beginning of next year, so that we can really show the owners, this is a Heesen yacht, this is the quality, come on board, you know, we have a chef, we make a nice meal, and the people can experience what is Heesen all of.
Are you involving the family in the design process of the new boat?
Yeah. Many people, because I think my captain, my engineers, all the people, even friends. So I was discussing one of the designs with one of my friends. He said, you know, what would be cool that you can side dock. So if you're on anchor, you have a balcony, and then you can go directly to the elevator and go up, and it's nice with the suitcase, etc. I said, wow. So we are incorporating. So I try to get all the influences of people and to see what we can benefit from them.
Well, I can't wait to see it. So we can see designs for that in Monaco
this
year?
Yes, yes.
Very exciting. Well, Lawrence, it's been a real joy. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit with me.
Pleasure.
I mean, I love Heesen, always have. And I think...
You say that now because you sit next to me?
No, it's true. It's true. Sarah will tell you. I mean, I've always been a huge supporter and fan of the brand. And so it's really exciting watching you embark on this.
We're going to work very hard, and we're going to make a lot of changes, and... I think if you work with passion, if you work with your heart, I think you will be successful at the end. And it's a long-term project. It's not something which you can change, because what we do now takes 4 or 5 years to materialize. You need to have some patience.
Patience. But that's nice to hear too. It's not kind of like a private equity investment, you know.
No.
It's a long-term project to build a really, really amazing brand.
In the press release, I said it is a dream, and that's how I embrace it. We want to be successful. We want to be profitable. We want to grow the business, but with a long-term vision.
Perfect. I believe. Cheers.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Boat Briefing, which was a production of Boat International Media. Make sure you like and subscribe to keep up to date with all our interviews and to hear the latest from the world of superyachting. Thanks for tuning in.